mic on? Oh, we look very good. Thank you, Joseph. Thank you all. First, Happy New Year to all. Welcome back. Thank you for and thank you for making it early today. Very early. You guys might have heard me very
parking is one of
these years. We have a robust docket at CDC, so we want to get started with our work. All right, Mr. Donald, I'll let you read in the first item and turn it over to
Mr. Warner. First item is CCA 190-001, which is consideration of amendment chapters 51 and 51A of the Dallas Development Code by convening certain prohibitions, limitations, or requirements of building materials in accordance with state law. And Nathan will continue with this follow-up.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So, jumping to the same background, June 14th, House Bill 2439 was signed into Texas law, became effective September 1. House Bill 2439 prohibits the regulation of building materials. This created conflict with a number of sections in Chapter 51 and Chapter 51A. Our proposal is to amend the sections of Dallas Development Code that regulate building materials to be in compliance with the new state law. And our proposal is what we're going to look at in depth today. And we're going to go section by section through those sections affected in Chapter 51 and 51A. So I'm going to start with our first section. Section 1, which is which reads, accessory structures must have an exterior siding, roofing, roof pitch, foundation, fascia, and fenestration compatible with a single-family dwelling located within 500 feet of the lot on which the industrialized housing is proposed to be located, compatible as used in the subparagraph, meaning similar in application, color, materials, pattern, quality, shape, size, slope, and other characteristics, but does not necessarily mean identical. The burden is on the property owner or applicant to supply the proof of compatibility. This provision does not apply to accessory structures with a floor area of 200 square feet or less. The portions of this section that we will be have to remove are exterior siding, roofing, foundation, fascia, color, materials, and quality. This is because the compatible aspect of this language requires compatibility to existing single-family dwelling units. The possible building materials that could be used would be limited. Therefore, for all language that limits what building materials may be used, must be removed. So that's what we're looking at on this one.
It's just a great to know. I think we could keep color. I don't know why I said that. Yeah, if y'all want to keep color.
Thank you. First of all, thank you for this. This made it very super easy to go through everything. I have a question that relates to multiple, so I'm going to jump really quick to Section 10, because in Section 10 at the bottom of page 6, my question is going to lead to right back to what we just went over. At the bottom of page 6, it says the design can be struck out and materials of SADA units must be equivalent to the design. We struck out blah blah blah. Can we add the word design into any of these other sections? Because the word design takes, you know, kind of the spirit and intent. So here we're saying roof pitch, shape, size, slope, blah blah blah. In this one section we have in here, we left the word design. So is it possible to add the word design? We're not regulating materials, but especially when we come to parking garages, which is Section 2. Is that possible? That's my question.
I mean, I would say based on how we noticed this, no, but we can bring that back and add it later.
So,
because we didn't notice that we were going to be making any other changes outside of just removing anything that conflicts with the new state law, and that would be making a substantive change that would fall outside of that. But, I mean, it's not a bad idea, and we can bring it back. But
yeah, especially when we get to the next section, I'll point out exactly what we're talking about.
And I would agree with that. I have a comment similar to the next section.
Okay, thank you.
All right, well, let's go to that next section, which is in 51A-4.127C8F, Roman numeral I, Roman numeral 1. Okay, so building facades. Building facades must be as close as possible to the pedestrian zone. Columns of an arcade must be on the building lane, and the internal facade of an arcade must be set back from the building line no more than 10 feet. Parking deck and garage facades must be our facades visible at ground level from any street or alley, must have the appearance of a multiple-story building. And then the portion that's struck out is, and be of similar material finish as a building on the site for which the parking is provided. Similar finish implies restriction of building material. If material finish must be similar to an existing material finish, then the possible building materials that could be used would be limited. All language that limits building materials must be removed.
Any comments? Go ahead. No. This is explicitly what I was talking about. What we have struck out here is and be of similar material finish as the building on which the site. We could say and be of similar design as the building on the site for which the parking is provided. Would eliminate that god awful parking garage right there where everybody can see it and where it's not blended into the building. So that was my point.
Okay. Any other comments?
We went through a lot back institutional history here. We went through a lot at my commission to try to get the parking garages not to have their, not to see the cars, basically.
Right.
With screening and all kinds of things like that. So to put design back in makes sense because you want the parking garage to blend and not just be this sort of.
The example I always say, like every time I'm on I-35 and I look over at the AAC, you see nothing but parking garages now. They're just concrete structures.
And they don't look pretty building and then they
go. Exactly. So it's kind of like, so the city, the people driving through the city of Dallas just see these concrete parking garages through our main corridor, which we can't do anything about that. That's a key fact that works as well as the barn, but that's what that was.
Okay. Okay. Next item.
And
I'll make my comment.
All right. Section 3. Which is storefront treatments. The following provisions apply to all uses at ground level except church use and residential uses. All street fronting street level portions of the building must have windows and primary entrances facing the street or plaza. The portion that struck out is no more than 10 continuous linear feet. A street fronting street level facade may lack a transparent surface, e.g. a window or transparent door. And picking back up, corner lot structures must have corner entrances in compliance with the visibility triangle standards met by the Department of Sustainable Development and Construction. Street fronting street level windows must, and then struck out is, be clear, unpainted, or made of similarly treated glass, allowing visibility within street level uses. Also struck out, cover 50% or more of street level frontage, and then allowed language, not have a bottom edge higher than 3 feet above the base of the building and be less than 10 feet high. We cannot require a transparent surface because not all building materials are transparent. Requiring only transparent materials limits building material choice.
So, I'd like to start commenting on this. If you have a storefront, there's a purpose to a storefront. You want people to be able to see what's in the store, and by deleting all of these things to comply with the new law, you're defeating the purpose of having a storefront. So it occurred to me that what Mr. Reeves was suggesting, that we find a way to reinsert the spirit of this section, and therefore I would like to consider adding some language of the purpose of the storefront is to engage the, you know, walk on the sidewalk or something. And maybe instead of deleting that line, say it is recommending them to keep in line with the purpose of the storefront, it is recommended that a developer consider X, Y, Z. You're not mandating it, but you are somehow stating what Dallas's intent is for this provision. I see a lot of heads nodding in agreement. Does anyone want to jump in? Yes, Mr. Smith.
So this kind of ties into something that I'm going to make a comment on from section 6. So in that section, you know, it references that 70% of sidewalks should be open. And the comment there is, even though it's not required, it would be recommended under the section. So I think, you know, maybe in addition to kind of looking at kind of the of the spirit of the design or, you know, kind of the appearance, would maybe inserting the word should to kind of give people guidelines on what, you know, we're trying to achieve, although maybe it's not enforceable if they choose to go a different route, it, you know, kind of points them in the right direction.
Okay. The storefront works two ways. It's to look into the store, but it's also not just for what's in there, but for safety purposes. And so in a way, we're getting the safety factor of the storefront, of the front of the store. And I know you have to take that state statute deal, but I think if you do some sort of recommendation, it keeps the spirit of what this code is written for, to be a walkable, friendly city, safe, it just takes out some of the safety factors.
I'm just watching what you're saying. It sounds to me like we can say we can require a function and let the developer determine the material. So we require safety, we require engageability, and leave it up to the developer to determine whether or not transparency goes.
Why don't, sorry,
I'm
not
sure.
Yes, why don't I take double A and double B and move those down and say something like it is encouraged that street planting, street level windows must, and then leave it at that. So it's not a requirement, but it's in there to show that it's the city's desire that I can write that.
Yeah, and again, too, because one of these points that the rationale for why sometimes helps, because it's kind of like, you know, taking swim lessons and telling you to blow bubbles, and you're like, well, that's kids right now, blow bubbles. But you really have to kind of look at when you lunch, right? So I think we need to go a step further and offer a rationale. Is there something?
Well, I think the safety factor really is, if you look at Deep Elm and there's a club and it's got windows where you have some transparency, and I'm a police officer, I feel better. Or if I'm a patron, I feel better. If it's a solid wall and a door and a bouncer there or something like that, and I don't know what's behind that door,
Correct. Then
that is not the spirit and intent of one of these buildings.
I think they'll go back in fact when we deal with the convenience store and we wanted they were stacking with here. All the, you know, cases all the way to the top of the roof. We had a lot of people listening that, you know, we couldn't see in, and it was a safety factor of what's going on inside. It's not invasion of privacy, it's not even really building materials, it's itself that you want to affect.
Ms. Morrison, if I may, does the your reading of the law allow us to require things for the purpose of health, safety, and welfare?
It just says that we can't limit building materials that are otherwise allowed by the model codes.
So, Madam Chair, how does that affect the convenience store laws where we're looking at an SUP that they have that inspection and something in the Ms. Bagley brought up, you're right, because it was like someone decided to basically blocking the view, so we made them remove it all.
Chapter 12B, the convenience store ordinance, it doesn't specify what you have to construct your storefront of. It says if you have a window, you cannot be blocking it with like things from the inside, you know, posters, the beer cases. You can't be blocking it, but it doesn't say. Mm-hmm.
So they could have bricked over the window of it legally.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, that's the
thing. Is expressing the desire enforceable?
Yeah.
So we can insert language to say this is out of the tip instead of something. Could we enforce it?
Yeah. But it might serve to preserve the intent and the language for the future in the event that the law is changed and you don't get that. We've left the city's original intent in there, and so it may be easier in the future. So go back to what?
Ms. Becker? But in the building code, transparently toilets are identified in the building code last.
So right, but all other kinds of materials are also allowed.
Yeah,
so you can't restrict by requiring transparency. By requiring transparency, you're saying you can't brick that over. When the model code says, yeah, you can brick that over if you want to, so you can't.
Sorry. One basic question here. Going back to the earlier point of, can we require function without requiring material? Can we require transparency? And if you want to make it out of plastic, you know, bags, that's your problem. So
we can't
because
there are non-transparent materials that are allowed by the building code without the solid that you should be allowed to use. So says the state. Yeah, I will rewrite that section to keep those two in to say that they're encouraged that you can start it this way. But to your point, it won't be enforceable. But
I think that applies to multiple sections.
Yeah.
Not just this.
Well, I didn't say it.
Section 4 reads very similarly to Section 1. In which structure is exterior siding, roofing, foundation, fascia, color, materials, and quality. I think same rationale holds that compatible exterior siding, roofing, foundation, fascia, color, materials, and quality imply a restriction of building material. Because the language requires compatibility to the existing single-family dwelling units, the possible building materials that could be used would be limited. Therefore, all language that limits what building materials may be used must be removed. I believe on the first one, color was mentioned that.
Yeah, the color. Okay.
Color would be put back in.
Any questions with regard to Section 4? Section 5.
Section 5 refers to the pedestrian sky bridges, in which at least 70% of the side walls must be open or glass or transparent, a material with a light transmission of not less than 36%, and a luminous reflectance of not more than 6%. Light transmission means the ratio of the amount of total light passed through the material to the amount of total light falling on the material in any glazing. Luminous reflectance means the ratio of the amount of total light that is reflected outward by material to the amount of total light falling on the material. We cannot require transparent material because not all building materials are transparent. Requiring a percentage of transparent materials limits building material choice. However, in Section 6, we can put that into the section of recommended pedestrian sky bridge standards.
Yeah, what I did here was I pulled it out of the mandatory pedestrian sky bridge standards and plugged it into just word for word in the recommended, the next subparagraph is recommended pedestrian sky bridge standards.
Any other questions? I'd like to ask Ms. Morrison, Mr. Warren, what does Section 5 apply?
When does it apply?
Yeah, typically, I mean, when
you're building a sky bridge.
Okay, just building sky bridge. That's okay. Thank you. Next section.
Okay, and like mentioned, Section 6 would be putting that language into recommended pedestrian sky bridge standards, so it wouldn't be mandatory. Section 7, quite long, but bear with me. Pertains to facades. These facade requirements apply to any portion of a building containing mechanized parking, except when accessories to single family or duplex use. If there's a conflict between these regulations within the zoning district that require concealment of parking structure facades, the subsection controls, an above ground mechanized parking facility must be concealed by a facade. And then that's where we put a period, and the next few sections are struck through. That is compatible in appearance with the facade of the main building it serves, or compatible in appearance with other buildings within a one-block radius. also strike through number three. The burden is on the property owner or applicant to supply proof of compatibility. And then the next two sections are allowed language, meaning aperture area or articulation must be provided at a minimum of 20% and a maximum of 80% for any street-facing facade. Articulation must be provided at every 30 feet, of at least every 30 feet, measured horizontally and vertically. And then a portion of number, new number five, formerly number six, is struck through. The section that is allowed is, except for pedestrian and vehicular entrances, the aperture area must be screened, and then the portion that's struck through is with an opaque or translucent material that may be permissible or impermeable. Screening materials for the aperture area may have no more than 36 square inches of transparent material in any given square foot of surface, and may have no more than 25% transparency. And then the portion that is allowed is the Board of Adjustment may grant a special exception to the standards in the subsection when, in the opinion of the Board, the special exception will not adversely affect neighboring property. The alternative facade must provide adequate screening and equipment and structures and mitigate noise. Our rationale is that we cannot compel development to have compatible building materials because compatibility to the main building or other buildings within a one-block radius would limit the choice of building materials to be used. Also, building material type to be used for screening can also not be limited.
Well, number five struck out number six, the word okay. I mean, glass could be okay. So that would not be limiting the building material, would it? If we kept the word okay.
But you're saying it must be screened with, well, opaque isn't solid. So by saying it must be screened with an opaque or translucent material, you're saying you can't have a solid material. And the law code says you can't have a solid material.
So are glass blocks one of the opaque?
Yeah, they are opaque or translucent. But a brick wall is not. So by saying it has to be opaque or translucent, then you're prohibiting drywall, brick wall, or whatever else is left in the wall.
We don't define what screening means. It says it must be screened.
Yeah,
you say what screening.
Yeah, you'd still have to screen it, but you'd be able to screen it with any material up.
I'm sorry, but I was thinking of a question that I thought is what you asked, which is screening defined in the code? Do we define what you mean by that? It's just a term that's understood.
It needs to be, screened.
Yeah, of course. This back in the neighborhood, when we looked through this code and struggled through the design of screening or mechanized parking and did facades and recognized parking, and did end up coming with a description of what screening and how what you can see through and into the garage. So much to my chagrin, I hate that we're having to backtrack out of this, but I think by at least leaving, being able to leave that the aperture area, part that the aperture area must be screened, then we at least will be providing some kind of facade.
But they want a solid,
yeah.
If they want a solid wall, that's green. You know, you're blocking your view, but they don't need, and they don't usually in a parking facility, they've got to have some air circulation, so there's usually some sort of screen. But you're not specifying that the screen has to be attached to the adjacent building. You did that.
Well, and that's to Mr. Roos' point, maybe we can design suggestion that the design is the same as the adjacent compatible, right? But then I can take that a step further, they may want to just make it cheaper building, or they can have cheaper garage.
who knows? The other thing is, I mean, why would we not use recommended in some amount of cheer as well? So in service design, we can put it in, it's recommended that the area be screened with an opaque or translucent or be permeable or impermeable to satisfy the air circulation or whatever. I mean, you've got the rationale.
That's better.
Yeah, and we're just trying to lead them by the hand. We cannot require it, but our thing in the city of Dallas did this because of X, Y, and Z. I think to the extent we can keep as much detail without making it a must.
Now, you know, it's recommended or it's encouraged that the design have the just keep the.
Yeah, I can do that. I don't want to lose this language that was so hard fought and so thoughtful.
Yeah,
why does it make a difference?
This won't come as a surprise anyway, but there are a lot of factors when it comes to designing a building outside of what the city requires. So, like the ventilation issue is regulated by building code. So, we don't have to be all inclusive in this piece of it, you know. When you sit down and design a building, you're going to make it conform to what the client's needs, desires, and their performance or their profit. And it's, you know, an architect doesn't sit down and start with the building, start with the city code. I mean, that comes late. That comes, you know, did what we designed comply with the city code? You know, yes, that comes at some point, but we don't start with the city code and say we're going to design.
But if I may, we do set a standard sometimes, and we often in city planning zoning cases see people say, oh, that's going to cost too money, or that's the same decision that. And that's what the goal is, to address the exemptions. So I was.
But I saw the situation that the architect needs to start and have that building code right there, because I'm just designing all the building, and then it's like, oh, I've got to change this to this. So I think the awareness of the building code and the things, I think that has to play in the.
And a lot of garages are being designed, at least in multifamily, as a wrap, right? So you're not even seeing the garage. You know, but obviously, other cases, you know, but.
It seems like also one of the rules of the design is, for the most part, whatever project you have in the fits colors on the front, but it's pretty patch. There's one of someone up here, and the root of the block, which is a lot. So, this gives language that they're requiring for the members to the commission to be able to. I got to do a lot of cash.
Well, but if I can say, you're also serving the commissioners as they are working through some zoning cases, and you can't require it, they also don't need to agree. So, I mean, I think this language is important for varieties. So, I would hate to see this language just be stricken at that point. I'd like to see it keep the language, but not make it.
I'll craft it as a recommendation. It's a recommended design.
Okay, we'll just slow you down.
I'm going to have you spend a month on this presentation on this. And then when you say recommended, don't let your anyone you have to when you're looking at that. But I think, and this is very well done, this takes some money to test it. But I think you don't want to go, and it may change in 2 or 3 years.
We're hoping it does.
Oh boy, everybody. You know, and so some cities aren't even changing. They're just waiting until they get somebody arguing with them over it. But I realize you have to take a proactive stance on it. But let's take a calm and gentle
approach.
Let's take a calm and rational approach to what we've worked through and what helps the commissioners make decisions. And since the commissioners in this city work with the applicant as well as with our commissioners, I think it's that can help if you don't just take everything else.
Yeah.
Design and recommendations and suggestions.
judges and whatever you want to call it. We just need to keep some in track. It's a pretty long form of process. Chris Moore.
Thank you. Section 8. First, section 51A-4.605A5, facade wall changes. The portion that is struck through here is or material when referring to facade walls that must have the following changes. We cannot require facade to have changes of material, as this would limit the type of building material that could be used.
Mr. Reed.
This is not my thought. A friend weighed in on this, and I'll quote. It says, allowing the change of color or texture of material is less restrictive than allowing only a change of color or texture. The stricken language allows a change of material to qualify. It doesn't require a change of material. So we're not saying you have to. We're just saying it's an option. And therefore, by removing that option, you're actually making it more restrictive.
And we have this conversation upstairs. I know, I hear you. That's exactly what we talked about upstairs, and it is still recommended by the city attorney's office to say that.
Well, we definitely think that's a conversation that we should have. Strongly recommend to the city attorney's office that they do consider the position. So, maybe in the explanation there, in the bullet, we can have the other bullets.
Okay.
Yeah, go forward that.
That
would be helpful.
Section 9, materials and colors. The portion struck through in portion A is material, and section B struck through. The following materials may only be used on rear facade walls: smooth-faced concrete block that is non-tinted or non-burnished, tilt-up concrete panels that are unadorned or untextured, prefabricated steel panels. Here, specific materials are listed, and we cannot use those limiting materials on the to limit building material choice.
So my comment on this, if I may, was to insert some language in subsection B to say, you know, it is customary to limit the following materials to rear walls only, and then list them. Again, just because I want people to know what you're thinking. So just a thought. Okay, next.
Section 10, the portion struck through are and materials. We cannot mandate building material type by requiring building materials to be equivalent to that of other units on the same lot. Building material choice is limited to those that are equivalent to that of other units on the same lot. This would limit the type of building material that can be used.
As long as you have the equivalent to the design, you should be okay. Next page.
Section 11, and this refers to Article 13, the definition of blank wall area, and the portion struck through is a material change. So, blank wall area means any portion of the exterior building that does not include a material change, and restrict striking through that portion.
Same comment there, the material is less. Allowing materials.
Yeah, I'm having trouble with that change. So we should add a bullet as well to explain what has to be more like to start. Thank you.
All right, now we get into Article 13, where we have the ground story transparency. And the upper story transparency, you see on the image on the left, the chart on the left, has those two portions, ground story transparency, upper story transparency. The section on the right does not. So if you go to page 10 of your case report, this is where you'll start to see the strike-throughs of Article 13. Section 13 Very similarly, you have the upper, the ground story transparency, the upper story transparency. Then on the image, you have that language being forced to be taken out. And this is for all of the development types. So if you go through the strike-throughs, you'll see the strike-throughs. Now we get to section 14, which speaks to the ground story shop front windows, a minimum of 60% of the street fronting street level window pane surface area must allow views into the ground story use for a depth of at least 4 feet. Windows must be clear and unpainted or treated, must be translucent. Spindle glass or back painted glass does not comply with this provision. So unfortunately, we cannot require shop front windows because of the requirement for transparent material. Requiring a transparent material limits building material choice.
So, if I may jump in on this one, I'm going to struggle with all of these strike-throughs in this section. And one thought that came to mind was that this is an unintended consequence of the legislation, that it's not a physical intended consequence. In effect, what it does is it eliminates the storefront. And how we as a city can regulate storefront. So, one thought is to, ask for forgiveness and not permission. I would leave that one alone unless the city takes a chance of that. One thought.
Or at a minimum, I think I can forget what the last city attorney's office is going to say about that. But at a minimum, leave it where it is with an asterisk where appropriate, where a small print says something to the effect of recommended by that party.
So I took a look at this one. It reads to me as if the first sentence isn't really a limit on materials, just saying the function of the windows are defined. You know, the second sentence, I think, very clearly does limit, you know, whether it's unpainted or treated.
So what page are
you? Page 7, section 14.
Okay.
So, you know, my reading, like I said, the first sentence just really just determines, you know, the use of the window and the visibility that it provides. Not necessarily, you know, the fact that a window can or shutter should not be used. You know, it's basically just assuming a window is there already. What does that window do?
Well, I would say this provision doesn't have to do with a window being there already. These are design requirements. If you're going to build a building in this zoning district, you have to build it like this. You have to have the transparency, which we're not allowed to require anymore.
But Mr. Moore says it's not just build a building, it's build a store.
No retailer wants to stay in business and build a building in front of a store.
I guess my question would be, if there is a window that's put in, you know, by the choice of the builder, they're not required to, they've chosen to put in a window. Now that they've chosen to use a window as a material, are we allowed to determine, okay, that window must provide certain views into the ground story? If that makes sense. So it's not like we're saying, you know, understanding the choices are a brick wall window, but let's say you've gone the path of the window because, you know, that's what your clients and tenants are going to want. You know, can we further kind of define the use of that window?
Good question.
That's a good question. Why don't we try to keep this, and maybe we can rename this recommended ground story shop front windows, and have the first sentence be a suggestion, a desire on behalf of the city, and then say if windows, you know, if windows installed, then we want them to be clear and unpaid. You know, like, I can craft that. That is
going to be... that's how it works.
Exactly.
It goes back to the spirit of the ordinance.
Right.
The spirit of what they're trying to... went through a lot of detail to try to create a, again, a safe, walkable city. And I think that's similar to what you want to do. So recommended, in the spirit of the original idea of the ordinance, is what you get back.
So if I may jump in on that, so the legal people may have problems with the spirit, because that,
yeah,
might,
not,
that might be conflicted with the legislative intent. How about that? I think if something is challenged, to the extent we can tie anything to health, safety, and welfare, or something like that, that makes it difficult for them to automatically do it, unfortunately, right, where they have to balance competing interests. So my suggestion would be when you do get right recommended, that you research health, safety, welfare, whatever the language is. I think that's something that's commonly used in the code, that we insert that. So, because I think that looks a lot of rationale. So,
yes,
Mr. Brown.
Mr. Brown. Yeah, sure. I think if we take out this last sentence, I think it really, that's really logically the only thing that requires them to have a certain particular material. I read this one like you do, that is somewhat advisory. If you're going to have a window, you should clear in the pain, but then the last sentence goes to say, this material does not qualify as not complied with provisions. So it's in that last sentence where it goes over into requiring a particular material or requiring using another material.
So, Commissioner Johnson, you're referring to spandrel blasted.
Right.
Okay, so you're just saying, you agree that qualifies.
Right, I agree with that last sentence. Probably, you know, not something the rest of it. Yeah. The rest of it's not that bad.
Right, but if we're saying all of this is recommended, we can't say that spandrel glass or bat painted glass does not comply with this provision, because no one has to comply with this provision. If we say it's recommended, we're not going to enforce it. We're not going to say you have to do this, because we can't. The state law doesn't let us do that.
Is there any value to documenting our rationale that we are not requiring materials, we do require certain functions? I mean, I know it's a
fundamental... Right, but at building inspection, if you're saying, if the code reads we require these functions, they're going to look at materials. And so in practice, that's how it's going to be, and that leaves us exposed. And so we just can't. I know this bill is horrible and no one likes it. And I hear you.
Don't you know the message?
But yeah. And when we saw this coming down, we were kind of mad about it. So.
No.
But I'm gonna rewrite this one. We won't be able to enforce it, but at least it will be there and it'll serve as a guide to resolve the issue there. We're doing a grass grade shot plan.
Section 15 refers to single story shop fronts in which ground story transparency, upper story transparency, and information in the graphic must be removed. Section 16, very similar to the ground story shop front windows in section 14, a minimum of 60% of the street running street level window pane service area must allow views into the ground story, used for a depth of at least 4 feet. Windows must be clear, unpainted, or treated, must be translucent. Spindle glass or painted glass does not comply with this provision. So this is another shop front development type in which we can have a similar outcome to that of section 14.
So the second comment applies to it, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I'll do it. Yeah.
Okay.
Section 17 refers to the general commercial development type, in which ground story transparency, upper story transparency, and the graphic must be struck through. We're going to see a common theme here. The apartment development type, ground story transparency, upper story transparency, and the mention of those two factors in the graphic must be struck through. Section 19, the townhouse stacked development type, again, striking through the ground story transparency and the upper story transparency requirements. Section 20 is the townhouse development type, ground story transparency, upper story transparency, and the graphic. And then section 21 is the manor house development type, where once again, you guessed it, the ground story transparency and the upper story transparency must be struck through. Same with the graphic. And section 22, our final development type, single family house development type, ground story transparency struck through, upper story transparency struck through, and the graphic on the left. And then our final section, section 23, refers to building entrances. And the portion that's struck out is a minimum of 50% of a required entrance must be transparent. We cannot require a percentage of transparent material because not all building materials are transparent. Requiring a percentage of transparent materials will limit the building material choice. That's section
here, if you want me to put in, it is recommended a minimum 50%. I can.
Yes.
Okay. And that concludes the presentation. And we got through all 23 sections.
Well done, Mr. Rock. Thank you. That was good. Ms. Back, question on all the illustrative pages from Lebanon, and you've got the strike-throughs. Is that someplace, again, you can remove the strike-throughs and look at it as recommended on every one of those instead of the strike-through?
I think that's what we just.
Yeah, but I mean, that depends on all the instructions
yes.
as well. So I want to be sure that's that. Put it in the graphic. Or just right now, you've got.
Or just italicize that language and then put on the. Somebody on each page italicize that language. Something like that. Make it super simple, super clear, but then we get italicized. Yeah. Something.
Ms. Morrison, is that okay to try to do something like that? Leave it in there without? Right. Without a right to follow the new legislation?
Recommended upper story transparency so that we're not enforcing it, but it will serve as kind of like a guide for developers so that
I think, you know, sometimes people do look at the code and they're trying to figure out what they're going to do, and they have that in there would give them guidance if they're seeking guidance. Mm-hmm. And they'll see that the city's not.
I did hand it out to the board of public speakers at the time, but I didn't have public speakers. What action do you recommend that you take in this moment?
We can bring this back with the changes, or if you trust me to make the changes that y'all recommended in the discussion, you can make a motion to approve this as submitted with the changes that I've made note of, and then send it to the Plan Commission.
The changes in the spirit of the discussion, just to
Right, so, gentlemen, would you guys be comfortable with looking at the hands of the city attorney's office and kind of follow our direction, and why they do so, and take things that go directly to the CPC, or would you like to see it once again?
I think it would be a help for all of us. This is the shortest we have used that we can do that.
Okay. So then at this point, there is no motion to be taken, instead just direction.
To hold it and
no. What is your message?
No, I mean, no, but we're not taking any action.
So, hold it. What's that next week?
In 2 weeks, the
23rd.
We'll be able to see it before the meeting.
Okay,
yes, sure. So, a matter discussed today, DCA 10001, involving consideration of amending chapters 51 and 51A. Excuse me, of the Dallas Development Code by deleting certain prohibitions, limitations, or requirements of building materials in accordance with state law. I move that we hold this matter until our next scheduled meeting on January 23rd to give the city attorney's office an opportunity to incorporate changes to the language in the spirit of today's input discussion.
And this way, you know, if I bring this back upstairs and I'm told, no, absolutely not, I can let y'all know that.
That would be a bad idea. Okay. So we have a motion to hold it under advisement to allow in some of the city's office to revise and discuss for today's discussions the same way by Mr. Reed. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? None. Motion passes unanimously. So thank you. That was, thank you again to Mr. Warren. To everyone and staff that worked on that. This was a lot of hard work, and I think I'm very pleased that with a thoughtful discussion. Thank you all. We're moving forward in the right direction. The next item is,
when we get to the minutes, I just want to say that the minutes that I have in front of you were to be revised from the ones that were sent out to you, but even within these, there is a correction. Joanna Hampton, shown as City Council member present, should be City Planning Commission member present.
Okay, so the next item is the approval of the minutes for December 12, 2019. We have provided an updated copy of the minutes at today's meeting, and Ms. Norman just suggested, recommended one more change, and that is moving Joanna Hampton's name from City Council members present to the Y item, City Planning Commissioners present. Are there any other comments or suggested changes to the minutes? If not, can I have a motion to approve as amended this week? Second, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? None. So, minutes are approved unanimously as amended today, as presented today. I think that concludes today's meeting. Our next meeting will be on January 3rd. I assume we will convene at 9 a.m. again. It is now 9:25. And it's 10:25.
I think I'm going to talk to you. You're going to talk to me.